Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, he'll reveal who the spies are who tell and sell you lies, trying to keep you from God's redemption. In the second chapter of the book of Joshua, Rahab became the poster child for anyone who's eaten up with guilt and feels like they're the worst of the worst, and God could simply not love them. There's no way. Well, perhaps, just perhaps, you know someone like that. Or maybe you kind of feel that way yourself. Do you? Do you think that you've sinned too greatly, burned all your bridges, and somehow crossed an invisible line with God? Well, prepare yourself for a shocker today, as we'll discover in the life story and voice of Rahab in Scripture that cries out to us, "If God can save me, He can save you too." You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And the lesson today, Spies, Lies, and Redemption. It's from the inspiring 10-lesson series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. Now, Pastor Jeff will do a bit of recap from yesterday and then into the meat of the message that'll give you the hope that you need for the hurts you face. It's called Spies, Lies, and Redemption.
Let's look in Joshua chapter 2 and learn some lessons, some very important lessons about the grace of God, a grace that is greater than all our sins. It says in verse 1, "The Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from the Acacia, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from.' And it came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. 'I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you shall overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate." We want to talk about God's grace today. We want to talk about some lessons from the story of Rahab the harlot. These are lessons about God. Lesson number one, the Lord will judge sin. The Lord will judge sin. God is getting ready to send His people to destroy Jericho. Jericho is the walled city. Jericho is that strong, stout city. Jericho was a wicked city destined for total destruction. Jericho was filled with idolatry. It was filled with immorality. Jericho, the word Jericho means moon city, because that was their chief god, the moon god. And they worshiped the moon there along with other idols. And they would perform child sacrifices in Jericho. They were ruthless. They were murderous. They were pagan to the core. And Rahab was an immoral woman covered in sin and shame. She lived in Jericho, Rahab the harlot. So here she is. And the city is going to be destroyed, and she's going to be destroyed because of sin. God judges sin. Now, here's the thing about God's grace. To understand God's grace and to understand what we talk about the gospel, you have to understand the bad news before you can understand the good news. And when you understand the bad news that the Lord will judge sin and you're a sinner, then you realize, hey, I'm in trouble. I need grace. Because I am sinking like that eagle. I am going down because of sin. So that's the first lesson. The Lord will judge sin. He's getting ready to judge Jericho. Lesson number two, the Lord will save the worst of sinners who trust in Him. Rahab is a picture of the worst. She's a prostitute. She's covered in the slimy fingerprints of sin. She pictures the worst of the worst, but what happens to the worst of the worst? Verse 8. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof. She has these spies. She's hiding these spies. She knows where they're from. She's hiding them up on her roof. She lives on the outer wall of Jericho. And she says to them, before they go to bed in verse 9, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And when we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. Now watch this. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Rahab had heard about the Lord, and she put her faith and trust in Him. Very obvious from that verse. She had placed her faith and trust in Him. She heard. She said, we heard about what your God did. She has real faith, and it shows up in her works. First of all, we see that she risked her life to save the Lord's spies. The spies came out, they came to her house. How did they find her house? She had the light on, and they found her house. God led them, no doubt, to her house. And so she took the spies in, she welcomed the spies, she received the spies. And when they came to her door to say, hey, send out the men who came to you, she lied. Rahab believed in a God she couldn't see and feared a God she couldn't see more than the king of Jericho, whom she could see. Because if it was found out that she was committing the treason and hiding spies who were the enemy, she would have been killed. Just like that, she would have been killed. But she says, it's worth it for me to hide these spies to make sure that they're protected. And so she risked her life. Here's a question I want to ask you. What are you risking for the Lord? Anything at all in your life that you're risking? I mean, that your faith turns things into a risk? Rahab is a baby believer, yet she risked her life to save the Lord's spies. Second evidence, Rahab had a burden for her family to be saved. She gives her testimony in verse 11. And we have heard, and our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now, therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you also will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. So the men said to her, our life for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours, and it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land, that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Here she is, young believer, put her faith and trust in Yahweh God. And it shows up in the fact that she's willing to risk her life. It shows up in the burden that she has for her family who were in Jericho, who were going to be destroyed. They were going to perish in the judgment. And she had a burden for them. Oh, I don't want to see them perish. I want to see them saved. Do you have a burden for your family? Do you have a burden for friends? Do you have a burden for people at school? Do you have a burden for neighbors and people you rub shoulders with? Do you understand that judgment is coming to that person, just like judgment was coming to Jericho? And the person that you might office next to or have a desk next to, that person's one heartbeat away from hell forever. See, that should give us a burden. That should say, oh, I want that person to know Christ. Please, God, save my friend, save my mom, save my dad, save my son, save my daughter, save my sister, save my brother, save my friend. When the Philippian jailer saw the mighty power of God and fell down before Paul and Silas, he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house. If your house will believe, they'll be saved too. Rahab had a burden for her family to be saved. And then what did Rahab do? She gave us a beautiful picture. She hung a scarlet rope cord out her window. And that was such a beautiful picture of salvation and redemption. Look what it says in verse 15. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. And she said to them, go to the hill country, lest the pursuers happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward, you may go on your way. And the men said to her, we shall be free from this oath to you, which we have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into your house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. And it shall come about that anyone who goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Why did they tell her to do that? What's the purpose of the scarlet cord? These guys were very familiar with the fact, how did God deliver the people from Egypt? He did it with a Passover lamb, with the blood of the lamb. The blood of the lamb on the doorposts and on the lintel, the top of the door. And God said that the death angel's coming, and he's going to wipe out all the firstborn. But if you put the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's how we get the word Passover. And so it may not have made any sense, but they did it. They put the blood of the lamb on the door. Symbols the blood of the lamb on the life, on the sinful heart. And so she puts out a scarlet cord. It's a symbol of the Lord is going to pass over her door. Judgment's not going to come to her door and anyone in her house. It's also a symbol of the fact that she really was a true believer, because she said, I'm going to do this because I'm not ashamed of Jesus. As one pastor said, he sees that scarlet cord as almost like baptism. It's her way of saying, I belong to Yahweh, and there's no turning back, and I have this cord out here to show to the world that I belong to him. I believe that he alone is God. And you know, when the Jews came to walk around Jericho, remember they walked around one time around the city for 6 days. Seventh day, they walked around seven times. And every time they would walk around, they'd see, when they would pass by her window, they'd see that scarlet cord coming out of the window. And they would say, she believes. She believes. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Let's reason together. It's a reasonable thing to come to Christ. If you repent and obey, you'll eat the finest of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. She believed. She consented and obeyed. She received the love and grace of God, and she was spared. The Lord will save anybody who will come to him. The worst of sinners who trust in him. You think you're too bad, too far gone? It's not true. And then lesson number three. The Lord will bless and reward anyone who comes to him. He'll bless and reward anyone who will come to him. Remember this about the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32. God says, do I have pleasure in the death of anyone who dies? Of course he doesn't. Therefore, repent and live. I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, he says. Therefore, repent and live. Well, she repented and she lived. And Rahab was blessed beyond measure. She was changed by the power of God. Her life was changed. We call her Rahab the harlot. Four times in scripture is she referred to as Rahab the harlot. But she didn't continue in a life of harlotry. She was really, if you get technical, she was Rahab the former harlot. Just as the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when it gives a long list of you were like this and you were like that and you were this other, it lists all these terrible things. And it says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were justified, but you were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus. You were that, but you're not that anymore. She was Rahab the harlot, but she's not Rahab the harlot anymore. She's been cleansed and she's been changed by the power of God. I love the story of Iris Blue. Iris Blue was a prostitute in Houston. She talks about her conversion experience when someone shared the gospel with her. And she said, when I got down to pray, she said, I knelt on my knees, a tramp, and I arose, a lady. That's the power of God, to change a person from the inside out. So Rahab changed by the power of God. And then the blessings keep coming. Rahab, the former harlot, she marries a guy named Salmon and has a family with him. Salmon is, he's big time in Israel, big time child of Israel, Hebrew guy. His dad is Nahshon, who was related through marriage to Aaron. And Aaron is the brother of Moses. Nahshon's called a leader of Judah. That's Nahshon's son is Salmon. Salmon falls in love with Rahab, the Amorite, former pagan, former prostitute. And he marries her. Now, can you imagine Rahab thinking, you know, I'll probably never get married. I mean, who would want me? Oh, the things that I've done, who would ever want me? But God had other plans. Because God changed her life and God had Salmon fall in love with her and they had a family together, which was huge, especially in Israel. I mean, every woman wanted to have a family, especially a son. And then to make it even better, Rahab is included in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. There are only two women mentioned in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. She's one of them. Sarah's the other one. So she's in there with Noah, she's in there with Abraham, she's in there with Moses. Wow, this Amorite prostitute. It says of her, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. She didn't perish along with those who were disobedient. That word for disobedient means to willfully disbelieve. You know, it's amazing. The only people that were saved out of Jericho were Rahab and her mom and her dad and her brothers and her sisters and everyone who belonged to them, just Rahab's family. She wasn't the only person in Jericho who heard about the Lord. She said, we heard about you. It wasn't just me that heard about you. We heard about you. Our hearts melted because we heard about what your God did in Egypt and how he parted the Red Sea and how you defeated Sihon and Og. We heard about all that stuff. There was no courage left in any man when we heard that. She heard and believed. They heard and they disbelieved. Did you know in this room today, there are people who are hearing, but you're not responding. And maybe you come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You hear, but you don't respond. What makes the difference? Response. She believed, and she didn't perish. If you will believe, you won't perish. But if you don't believe, you will perish. And I don't care how squeaky clean you might get your life. The Pharisees' lives on the outward were very clean. Jesus said, you're like whitewashed tombs. You're clean on the outside. You're filthy on the inside. You and I can't clean up the inside. Only the Lord can clean the inside. And that only comes when we put our faith and trust in him. Hey, she was included in the Hall of Faith. And lastly, she's included in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I mean, you think about the blessings. Okay, I am saved. I am saved from destruction in Jericho. I am blessed and cleansed. He forgives me of all my sins. He gives me a husband. He gives me a family and he gives me children. He gives me a son. He puts me in the Hall of Faith. And then he puts me in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and to Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab, and to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth, and to Obed Jesse, and to Jesse was born David the king. And to David the king, as we take that on out through generations, was born Jesus, the son of David. Isn't it amazing to think that the Lord purposed in his lineage to have a prostitute in there? To have a prostitute in there? An Amorite prostitute? A lying Amorite prostitute in his lineage? I mean, it's like, hey, you're messing up the pedigree here. What is the purpose of that? It's to say to you and to me and to everyone that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That's all there are sinners. He came to save. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, the Father has not sent the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. But listen, that window of opportunity for salvation, it doesn't last forever. It's a window of opportunity that you must take advantage of. Rahab is proof positive that God will save anyone who put his or her faith and trust in Jesus. He saved her, changed her, blessed her. He'll do the same for you.
Listen, bottom line is this. If you don't know Jesus Christ personally, meaning you've never put your personal faith and trust into him with a repentant heart, then now is the time to receive that love given to you freely by our Heavenly Father. You might think, well, I've prayed for that before, but God didn't answer my prayer. Why? Well, the Bible clearly says why in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or his ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, meaning your sins, have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear." That's why we need to sincerely repent of our sins and surrender our all to him. And then we'll be made white as snow, we'll be clean from all sin, and he will never leave us. If you can do that, if you'll hear that voice in your heart and put your total faith in him alone, it doesn't mean your life will be void of struggles, but he will walk you through every obstacle that you face, and you'll find a peace that passes your present understanding. It is a miracle in your heart and mind, it is. So why not do that today? To find out more about how to do that, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. There are too some materials to help you in your new Christian journey. Maybe you're a person of faith, but your faith has stalled in growth. You've got a sticking point that has halted your growth. Are you wrestling with one aspect of your faith walk that you just can't seem to get over? Maybe some disappointment, some doubt, something you just don't agree with in Scripture, fear or peer pressure or criticism of others or a myriad of other sticking points. Well, you'd not be the first, but Pastor Jeff has a powerful series that can help you overcome some of the most common sticking points so you can have a strong and vibrant faith. The series is called Sticking Points, Overcoming Obstacles to Faith. 4 messages in the format of your choice, our gift to you to say thanks for your support this month of any amount. And with that gift, we'll also send you the companion booklet, Not Guilty. To get the booklet and the series, make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be with us on Friday for the next lesson in Pastor Jeff's series, Rising to the Challenge, a study of the book of Joshua. But be warned, you'll be challenged to answer this always timely question. Do you really want to enter the Promised Land? Join us Friday when Pastor Jeff Shreve will again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from his heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that when you go to fromhisheart.org.